heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday. What's left of this Friday morning? If you want to try to get in some text, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, we do it every Friday. I'm pleased to be joined by State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. It's good to be back in South Baldwin County after a lot of time in Montgomery this week.
Yeah, while we were recovering from let's just talk about that first. What are your thoughts on the election? I'm surprised, admittedly.
Well, I'm overjoyed, I think would even be an understatement. I mean, I am thrilled that President Trump got reelected, we'll call it that. I'm thrilled with the turnout, not just in Alabama, but nationally. And I'm thrilled with the broadening of the Republican Party to include more folks that work hard for a living, regardless of what color they are or background they are. The new Republican Party values effort and work and the meaning that is derived from it. And we ought to continue to support those folks and the small businesses that are the lifeblood of our economy. And I am just tickled that the Republicans are embracing that, and that those folks who were not traditionally Republicans are embracing us.
Well, let me say this, though. The turnout was not really, I mean, it was obviously the way for Trump, but turnout down in Alabama, the lowest turnout since Bush Dukakis in 88. That's I don't know what to make of that.
Well, it's a heck of a lot better than what we get for most of our legislative races.
Fair enough.
and when you look at what was on the ballot, you had a bunch of unopposed elections for the judiciary. A couple of amendments statewide, and then a couple of local amendments here in Baldwin County. But by and large, just not a lot to decide on the ballot. And when it comes to Alabama, really a foregone conclusion as it related to President Trump. And so I was still pretty tickled with the turnout, despite the fact that I'm not sure, again, other than some amendments, that there were a lot of choices to be made by voters.
Well, and it just it tells me this, that, you know, in a low turnout event, and not low turnout, but lower than usual turnout, I mean, there was an enthusiasm gap, and the Republicans owned the enthusiasm in this election. I think a lot of it's just a product of Trump, and the Trump base of support tends to support him enthusiastically. They had a flawed candidate on their – they had two flawed candidates over the whole cycle on their side. This should have been, what kills me, Senator, is we should have seen all this coming. I figured Trump would win. I just didn't think he would win by this margin. I knew he had an side shot at the popular vote, but I would probably, if he asked me the day before, said, nah, probably not going to win the popular vote, but it could happen. But it exceeded my expectations. I just, the country was really ready for something different here, more than maybe the media had led on.
Well, and you saw that with the media reaction, you know, Wednesday and Thursday in particular, and even this morning, you know, watching the likes of Gayle King on CBS in the morning just lament the fact that this has occurred and trying to figure out how and why. To see the mainstream media just beside themselves with this outcome was really pretty awesome, right? I mean, this was a, you know, a huge denouncement of all of these woke Democrat policies that they thought were going to get them votes, and nothing could be further from the truth. That's not what the American people want. They don't want, you know, transgender people playing in girls' sports. I mean, they don't want this indoctrination, woke nonsense. They want They want their economy to be healthy. They want their borders to be secure. They don't want to be focused on all this other weirdo stuff. And I think you saw that in the turnout and in the election itself. And I think we're going to see that in down ticket races, including the very real possibility that Republicans will maintain control of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yeah, and it's looking more and more that way. I guess the one thing, though, had Kamala Harris won, I mean, you were talking about it. I think others were backing you up on it. The special session, it doesn't have to be now.
I think we've avoided that. We can save the taxpayers some money and not have to defend our border, you know, through state law. But I do think there's still a discussion to be had that maybe we need to make that package of immigration related bills go ahead and pass through the Alabama legislature during a regular session, because who knows what's going to happen in 4 years, and why not go ahead and get ready for that? You'll remember a conservative Alabama legislature passed the very pro-life stance that we have in Alabama prior to the Dobbs decision. And so that was in place and in effect at the time that the country came around. And so there's nothing wrong with getting ahead of that.
Let's talk about your dust up yesterday at the, it's becoming quite regular. And I said this, and I'll say this on air, the state bureaucracy continues to lift its middle finger in protest at the Alabama legislature anytime they have questions. It seems that way to me, but this is throughout state government. But ABC board now, and they refuse to cooperate, it seems.
It's so frustrating, and I feel like every day my colleagues and I are fighting back against the very, you know, the very bureaucracy, the very government that we are supposed to be part of. And what's even more offensive from this ABC board is they're thumbing their nose, not just at the legislature, but at the governor of the state of Alabama who signed this legislation into law. And that is just an overarching refrain that is exhausting, but is so necessary for us to keep pushing back against an out-of-control bureaucracy. Does whatever it wants to do, regardless of what the law is. And that is just something that is so fundamental. We have to have legislators. We have to have a governor who is willing to push back against the entrenched political class in Montgomery and make sure that they are following the will of the people. And that's what the legislature and to some extent the governor are pushing on, is what the people want. We do not need these entrenched bureaucrats saying, oh, no, you know, we're going to pat you on the head and go do whatever we want to do. That's offensive, not just to me as a senator, not just to my colleagues as legislators, but as representatives of the people of the state of Alabama, ought to be offensive to each and every one of them.
Yeah, it's just the people in the state. They have no regard for the people in the state, but it's always something with these guys. And at some point, the legislature's going to have to do something very difficult. I don't know if they have it within their abilities, but like start defunding some of these agencies, or at least taking some of the money out of the general fund. And you know, but they seem to do this with impunity, and they kind of know, right, that the consequences maybe that happens, but we'll win the hallway fight.
Well, and that's why I took the fairly extreme step yesterday that I don't think any other legislator's done in recent history, which was hold $80 million worth of contracts for all of state government and point the finger directly at the ABC board and say, you will implement the statute as signed by the governor. You will implement the law. You will make the changes in your rules that are necessary. And we are going to hold, I personally, just little old me, am going to hold $80 million worth of contracts until you comply. And failure to do so will cause significant pain and discomfort for your bureaucratic friends who are sitting there waiting for their contracts to be approved. And so I've deputized all of those other little bureaucracies out there to go make their case to ABC that they need to move along, or they will continue to suffer because of the ABC's unwillingness to implement the statute.
joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Back to the voting, and Representative Klaus has been the legislature forever. Talk about early voting. I mean, I think the precinct, what kills me about this election and the way it was conducted, Senator, was you had to see wildly varying circumstances in some precincts versus others, where some you had long, long, long lines. Some you didn't have a line at all. And I mean, just as like while I was hearing about the precincts in Daphne versus what I went through at Fair Hope, I was in and out in 3 minutes. So those people had to wait an hour in line or more. I mean, these reports of long lines, I guess, have gotten to the media. The media went on this crusade for early voting. Is that even something in the realm of possibilities in Alabama?
You know, I've long been an opponent of early voting. I have long believed the best and most secure way to vote is in person at the polling location. And I still believe that the most secure way to vote is, you know, at the polling location and in person. But I'm not sure that we don't need to at least consider some very secure manner of early voting. I mean, me personally, I was in Montgomery Monday and Tuesday and then back on Thursday, and I came home to vote and I barely made it back to vote in time. And so there are working people out there who want to vote, who want to participate, and they need to figure out how they can go to the clerk's office, present an ID, and vote early. You can do that now through an absentee ballot process if you know that you're going to be out of town. But we may need to have that conversation. I'm not committed to early voting, far from it. I'm skeptical still. I'm just less skeptical of how I have been in the past. And it may be something we should at least look at, making sure that it is just as secure as possible and just as secure as showing up in person on election day.
I mean, the way we did it in Florida, I lived in Florida for a while, and they just, you had each county, maybe the bigger counties like Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville, Orlando, they had multiple, but typically one county, one precinct, and it handled all the early voting. You just went to it, and that's where you voted. And I did it one time, I think in a midterm election when we were in Tallahassee, and it was just like going to go vote. I mean, the absentee ballot, there's so many steps. And, right. You know, with that, there's the chance of the way that the absentee ballot system has been abused, especially in Alabama over the years. Doesn't early voting seem like a very much a preferred system than the absentee process?
I would think so. And the absentee ballot process back and forth in the mail and the opportunity for misrepresentation or fraud in that process is pretty significant. And it is, to your point, very time consuming, as opposed to showing up somewhere with your ID in hand and voting just as you would on election day, which means it's just as secure as it is on election day or would be. Is that not preferable? And I wonder if participation rates would be better and we would have solved a security issue, a voting security issue, if we allowed that. And so it's a conversation I'm open to having. Again, not sold on completely, but certainly open to having.
Because, there's also the argument that, well, if you open it up for early voting, that'll help Democrats, but that hasn't necessarily been the case. Early voting, especially in this election, a lot of places really, really, really favored Republicans. I think you still get the essence of the public's viewpoint on the two candidates or wherever, even with early voting.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. I used to be, again, in the other camp and think this is obviously very advantageous to Democrats, and I'm just not sure that's the case anymore, especially in Ruby Red, Alabama. I saw the city of Orange Beach, for instance, one of their polling locations that voted 85% for Trump. You know, I want to make sure every one of those folks who wants to vote has an opportunity to vote as long as they're legal, they show ID, and it's secure.
Last question, the Caroline Dobson-Shamari Figures race, that congressional district that they drew was not a D+3 or opportunity district. It is a bona fide Democrat district now. Is that fair?
It is fair. It is a travesty that we let the federal courts draw a district for a Democrat and then had the former president and the former attorney general under Obama, you know, come down here and endorse their buddy and take a Republican seat from the voters of the state of Alabama and for District 2. It is just unbelievable and unconscionable that that is something that we allowed. I am hopeful that the Supreme Court will reverse that decision in concert with a Louisiana lawsuit, and that we will get Congressional District 2 back where it should be, which is something at least approximate to what the Alabama legislature drew, which is the legislature's constitutional right.
They packed a lot of conservative Republicans in AL1 and in AL6. I mean, this is they did exactly to two congressional districts what they were complaining about a Republican legislature due to one. They totally disregarded communities of interest, and this will be it. In your mind, is there any circumstance that we're going to see Shamari Figures sit down with Barry Moore and they're going to reach a grand compromise to benefit the city of Mobile?
I think it will take less time to have the Supreme Court overturn the decision than it will to see that occur.
I mean, for years, Senator, you had kind of a right-wing bomb thrower by any stretch of the imagination. Guys like Dean Young always got their butts kicked in the first congressional district. But you go Jerry Carl, you go Bradley Byrne, you go Joe Bonner, Sonny Callahan, Jack Edwards. It was always just sort of this, I don't say moderate, because they're probably conservative on a lot of social issues, but they use government in ways that a lot of orthodox conservatives probably would reject, but it seemed to work in Mobile. And you're never going to, they just took a knife and split the baby, and that's going to have consequences.
And the very people that are arguing and hand-wringing about the polarization of parties have done nothing but exacerbate the polarization in our representation in coastal Alabama.
Sorry to filibuster there on you on the end, but we always appreciate your time, Senator, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds great. Y'all have a great weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
And you gave me nothing.